So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Judges chapter 6. That is where we'll be at all service. There's one little side note that I want to get you guys to, but Judges 6 will be at where we're at all service today. So let me start off by asking this question after that time of prayer. Any of you had any stress this week? Maybe that's more of a rhetorical question, right? Because stress is part of our world that we live in. We constantly live in stress everywhere, in and out, in our homes, in our jobs, in our churches, in every nook and cranny in our life. Some of us admit to not liking stress. But most of us find our way in stress in a constant way all the time. Here's another important thing. Our government really tries hard to relieve our stress. Our government, I'm not talking Republican or Democrat, I'm talking our government tries really hard to relieve our stress. But are they doing a good job at it? Well, here's my plug for Election Day. Get out and vote. I'm all done. But the reality is our government tries really hard to relieve our stress for us. But I think if you're allowing the government to relieve your stress, maybe you're seeking the wrong God. Today, we're going to be talking about a very important subject matter of God, which as we do every Sunday, right? But the importance of understanding what peace is. See, our governments strive and try really hard to have peace, even world peace. You know what I mean? Beauty pageants. I know. We're all thinking about them now. I just want world peace. How's that working out for us? We want world peace, right? We desire world peace, but the reality is it's seeking goods of this world to get peace. Again, I asked a question that seems so simple. How's that working out for us? Maybe it's the world that we're seeking for our peace that really is the problem. Maybe we're seeking peace in the wrong location. Maybe we're seeking peace in the goods of life. You know, peace by like, man, if I only made more money, I would have peace with my wife. Man, if I only had a new car, because my car is falling apart, I would have peace. And some of you can relate to that statement. What if I only had food and water? I'd have peace. What if there was no illness, no cancer, no nothing? We would have peace. What if? What if? You see, the things of this world is what we seek our peace in. Do you guys see the problem with that? That we're seeking the things of this world, the goods of this world, as our peace. And today we're going to be talking a lot about why that is the wrong place to look for peace in the goods of this world. It is not just about getting peace. See, we all want to receive peace. We all want to have that peace just right on our fingertips, right on the tip of our tongue, right there to just grab a hold of it. Again, that's seeking the world and the goods of this world to seek peace. If I just had this, I would have peace. If I just had this, my family would be at peace. If I just had this, my church would be at peace. If I just did this, we'd all be at peace. Again, seeking thing after thing about what peace should be. See, today we're going to be talking about Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is our peace. The Lord is our peace is where we're going to be going today, and we're going to be staying there this whole sermon because that is a reality we must understand. That when we think about remember whose we are the Lord who is our peace. I'm sorry, we are the Lord's who is our peace. See, that's who we are. We can't receive that in the reality. We can't physically touch it. We don't even get a new car. It makes us peaceful. The reality is that our Lord and Savior is the only one that gives us peace because we have peace in Him. See that reality? We didn't actually receive anything with it. We actually are just in peace because we're in Him. See, Yahweh Shalom is just that simple. It's not receiving anything tangible. It's not receiving an item. It's not receiving something, not doing something that makes peace. It's about being in Him. Are you with Him today? That seems like the simple answer, right? We're just with Him. Well, Pastor Teddy, I'm in the church. I'm with Him, right? Well, we all want that simple answer to be true, that if we're just in church, we're with Him. But the reality is we have to have Him in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in everything that we do, because Yahweh Shalom is just that. He is our peace. Do you have Him? Or do you say you know Him, but live in the world seeking the goods and desiring the goods all day, every day, in and out? Scriptures teach us that peace is only found in the Lord. You cannot have peace absent from the Lord in your life. You cannot have peace absent from the Lord. Because you don't just receive a gift. The Lord doesn't say, oh, thank you for inviting me to your life. Now here's a gift. You now have peace forevermore. He doesn't say that. He says, I am your peace. Remain in me and I in you. And then you have peace. See the difference there? It's not receiving a gift. It's not receiving an item. It's not something in your hands. It is having Him in your heart. He is the only one that can actually, for us, peace. And it doesn't look like a gift. It looks like a name. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is our peace. So today, if you'll turn to me in Judges chapter 6, we'll be in verses 1 through 24. And we're going to start off by reading the scripture, as we should. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The Israelites did what was evil in sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to Midian 7 years. And they opposed Israel. Because of Midian, the Israelites made hidden places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the eastern peoples came and attacked them. They encamped against them, and they destroyed the produce of that land. Even as far as Gaza, they left nothing for Israel to eat, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey, for the Midianites came with their cattle and their tents like a great swarm of locusts. They and their camels were without number, and they entered the land to waste it. So Israel became poverty-stricken because of Midian. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord, because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to them. He said to them, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you out of Egypt and out of the place of slavery. I delivered you from the power of Egypt and the power of all who oppressed you. I drove them out because out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, whose land you live in, but you did not obey me. The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak and was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizite. His son Gideon was in the threshing wheat in the wine vat in order to hide it from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the power of Midian. am I not sending you? He said to him, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house, but I will be with you. The Lord said to him, you will strike Midian down as if it were one man. Then he said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, give me a sign that you are speaking with me. Please do not leave this place until I return to you. Let me bring my gift and set it before you. And he said, I will stay until you return. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from a half bushel of flour. He placed the meat in the basket and the broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat with the unleavened bread, put it in the stone, put it on this stone, and pour the broth on it. And if he did so, and he did so, the angel of the Lord extended the tip of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire came out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from the sight. When Gideon realized that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, oh no, Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace to you. Don't be afraid, for you will not die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it Yahweh Shalom. It is in Orph of the Ezraites until today. Now today I wanted to read the whole section of scripture so you have the full context of where we're going today. And then we're going to break it up in each segment, so go ahead and stay in your Bibles right there because we're going to be going back to each section, basically verse by verse, because there is a lot here for us to unpack. And the first of our identifying here is the problems identified. So we got verses 1 through 6. First of all, you got identified the power of the Midianites. But we cannot forget and gloss over the fact of verse 1. When you look at verse 1, it says something very clearly to us. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Midian 7 years. See, the power is very important to understand. But why is the power over the Israelites at this time? Because the Israelites are God's people. They were brought to this place by him. And yet, the Midianites' power overtakes them. You know what happens when power overtakes you? You feel helpless. Ever feel that way lately? In the world that we are in? That power overtakes you, and you just feel helpless. Ever have a problem that you're trying to solve, and you try everything you can to solve that problem, to only understand that you cannot solve it? You have been overpowered by the enemy that is far greater than you. See, a feeling of helpless comes in there. For the Israelites, for us today, however we want to look at that. You see, the power was so great that they hid in fear. Again, maybe we should use the words sound familiar. That we hide in fear. Because the great power that's over them, the Israelites hiding in the caves, scared, fearful, desiring something more. But the reason they were hiding in fear is because the result of their sin. The fear that is real is the result. Because now they are hiding in the caves, scared. They knew they were on their own. Because they knew the stories. They knew their forefathers. They knew what they had been told. They knew the reality of who God was. And that God could just squash the Midian army without lifting a finger, but maybe just the wind. So to have them in fear, running into the caves, so fearful that they can't even think straight. But in that reality, they realized they were on their own. And that God was no longer with them. What a devastating blow that must have been for the Israelites. What a feeling of loneliness that must have came over them. The fear of the reality that they are all on their own and that God had left them. Do you think at all they realized that their sinful behavior was what caused it? That their own sin in their lives, their choices are what caused that loneliness to happen? Isn't that something that I hope the Israelites realized? And also, if we fast forward and look at today's reflection of this name of God, that also applies to us in the world we live in, that maybe we always have to take account for our own hearts. Because see, when we have no control over our lives, just like the Israelites, they had no control over their own lives. They were hiding in the caves, scared, fearful, with the knowledge that the Lord had left them. And they could do nothing under their own power because they had been overpowered by the Midians. You see, in verses 3 through 5, it says that every single time they planted something, the Midian army would come in with all their cattle, all their camel, and everything in tent camp until everything was destroyed. They take the food, for one, and they destroy the land, overpowering time and time again, being overpowered by a mighty force. Think about that. They took everything. So not only are they alone and scared and fearful, but now they're financially broken. They can't even provide for themselves. In this reality of going on with these Israelites, all because of their choice of sin. When you look at that reality, you see overwhelmed by the problem is an understatement. Overwhelmed by the problem is an understatement in the reality of what we're dealing with. In this piece of scripture, the Israelites continually felt overwhelmed in the reality of what they had made, the choices that they made that led to this. The ignoring of their own sins that led God to removing his hand. See, the Israelites are in this place. They lacked peace. Everything around them was in turmoil. Not only from food, water, shelter, financials. Absolutely everything was in ruins. And then you get to verse 6. I like how quickly they get here in Judges. They start off with, the Israelites were in sin. Just 4 verses later, we hear verse 6. Let's go back to verse 6 to remind ourselves what that is. Verse 6 is this. So Israel became poverty-stricken because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They cried out. They sought the Lord. They sought him to do the work, to work on their problems, to work on their solution. Isn't that what we should all do? The Israelites had to be beat down in that position, running away into caves, having no food, no water, no shelter. And finally, they get on their knees to pray and seek the only one that can offer peace, and bring peace to a very, very difficult time. If you look at our lives today, we think the only one that can offer peace to us is Christ. It's an easy leap for us to get there to understand that piece of the puzzle. The Lord that was ministering to the Old Testament Israelites is the same Lord that we serve. And we look at the Christ that we have, that we serve, that we obey, that He is the only one that can bring peace in our hearts and our minds and our souls and everything that we are. What does it require? It requires us to get on our knees and pray and seek the Lord. Repent of our sin. Because He is the true God, the one and only God. There's a lot in this story of Judges that I wish we had time to just kind of dive into what Gideon's story fully is. There's so much more than just this little piece of him questioning God. But for another time, maybe. Our peace is not found in what we have here on earth. It is found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Gideon and the whole of Israel had this reality check. We've been in the caves running and scared and hiding. And finally, we get to our knees and seek the one who can actually offer peace. See, if you look at verse 7, it leans into time reprioritized. See, we have to reprioritize a time eventually. We have to put reprioritize in our life. Because a lot of times we start filling it with junk. We start filling it with stuff. And so did Israelites. They filled it with false gods. And a life that did not honor God, but honored themselves. See, the reality is that God is good. God sends a prophet to them to help encourage them, guide them, direct them. But it wasn't until they dropped to their knees that he did this. You see, they sought him in prayer and he delivered their way forward. They didn't work real hard and keep putting rocks in the river and hope they built a way up to heaven. They got on their knees and sought the Lord, and the Lord delivered. Because he is the only one that can offer peace any of us. See, when we look at God's word, we look at scripture, we look at what it means to seek him in prayer and through his word. If God is our lighthouse, if he is the one we're drawing to, then we have no problem with our priorities. Because our priorities will be focused on him at all times. You look at the Israelites, they had to be reminded of what it meant to put him first and make him the priority of their lives. So when we align our priorities with his word, just as the Israelites were doing in this moment, then he is the one who can bring peace. We continue on in this section of verses of those prioritized priorities realized. We must put God first. Israelites were on their knees praying to the Lord, Lord, Lord. And that is when God met them in that moment, in that time, in that place. In that place is where God met them and met their need. When he's in, we're at peace. But what takes him out of being in? And we see in the Israelite story what that reality is that it's sin in our lives. We have to rid sin in our lives in order to have peace, because he is the one that we have our peace with. When money is our priority, when food is our priority, when water is our priority, when nice stuff is our priority, then we shove him out because our longing and desire for things and things of this earth But we have to remember, and we always know this, and I'm sure it all rolls off the top of your, the tip of your tongue as I say this, things of this world are temporary. We all know that. But do we live as if that's true? Do we live as if that's a reality? Because I tell you, the peace that you are seeking in everyday life that we all seek, that we all want, we all desire peace, what it requires of us is not to make this world a priority, but to make Him a priority. Is He a priority in your life? I can't answer that question for you. I know y'all want me to give you the answer. I can't answer that for you. I can only answer that for me. Is the Lord a priority in my life? And I say yes. Is He a priority in your life as well? Because really, the boiled down reality is when you have lack of peace, you have a lack of God in your life. Because God gives us direction. God gives us the encouragement through His Word to have peace, seek peace, receive peace. But it is by seeking Him first. In that reality. Move on to verses 11 through 22 when we see this. We must have perspective. We must have a perspective. See, in this section of verses, we see the presence of the Lord. Literally calling out to Gideon. Speaking to him. But a proper perspective of God in our life is truly prayer and His Word. Because it takes the Lord's presence to have proper perspective in our lives and what we do. See, the Israelites, if you look back at verses 1 through 6, you see the reality of sin led them into a very fearful time on the run with Lord in their lives. No, Lord removed His hand from them. No proper perspective had. The reality is they were missing it. But here is the Lord speaking to Gideon to bring back that proper perspective of life. Now, Gideon doesn't understand what's going on here. You see, the Israelites have fallen away from worshiping the Lord. So Gideon questions in proper fashion of a skeptical person who sees a lot of gods in the area that he's living in. Sees how terrible the life has become because God removed His hand from them. And he's struggling. He's struggling the reality of what and who is talking to him. He even called him a mighty warrior. We're talking Gideon. We're half tribe of Manasseh. And then his little portion of that tribe was the least of these. And then his family, which is a part of that half tribe, least of these, he was the youngest. To put it in layman's terms, he was a nobody. He was a nothing. He was lower than low. He didn't matter at the table of opinions. But yet the Lord came to him. The Lord came to him in this moment, in this place, in this time. Isn't that amazing that He always comes to people? And these names have come out of meeting with people. That the Lord chose Gideon to do wondrous, wondrous miracle through. You're going to find out here in a minute. The peace that the Lord gave him was not after the battle. Wouldn't that be the simplest? Yes, Lord, come. Please, Lord, come. Answer my prayers, and then I'll have peace. Now, we came with a promise that I will answer the prayer. I will answer it, and you can have peace now because I am with you. Isn't that the reality that we have to live in? That He is saying, I am with you so you can have peace. You don't need me to defeat the army yet. You don't need me to feed you. You don't need me to do all these things. The reality is I am with you, so that should bring you peace. I think much like Gideon, much like ourselves, maybe we struggle with the reality of that just having God's presence is peace. Plenty of times in my life that I've had things going on out of my control I didn't really feel peaceful, but I know that he's good. So my peace can come from knowing that he is good in the reality of life. Because we've seen the power of the Midians, but then even look at verse 14 and 6 through 16, you see the power of the Lord. See, Gideon had this plan. He's like, I'm going to test the Lord. I'm going to see if this is the God Almighty. See what he can do with this. What happens? The staff, he just reaches out the staff, touches the offering, and the rock shoots flames. If that isn't wondrous power, that should bring anybody peace. Now, we can always see the flashback to Moses in this and the reality of who the Lord is. That Moses was the most unlikely person to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But yet, God chose him so that he could show miraculous, wondrous events and things from the lowest of the low. Again, we see God doing that again with Gideon about what he's going to do. Not what he has done yet, but what he's going to do and he's promised to do and that is going to happen because God said it so. See, God could reveal his power without question, without hesitation. But he did it. He does it in such a simple way sometimes. In the reality of what it means to seek the Lord. You see those promises that wrap up and come in verse 17 through 22. Promises to be with him. See, Gideon was alone. God removed his hand. And yet God comes back into the picture and says, I am with you. I think it's funny, like if you listen to this passage, you see Gideon like, how am I going to do that? Well, we all know that to be a silly statement. You ain't doing nothing, Gideon. The Lord is going to work through you. I think we miss that too as today. That the Lord is working through us. We aren't doing anything. But we have to trust him enough. We have to have his peace enough to realize that he is working through us. And that is how the Lord is showing himself wondrous, amazing. Things that are happening around us. He promised to be with him. He promised him victory. And he promises them that God is in control. All those promises that he gave Gideon in that moment, in that place. And you look at verse 23 and you see how God now has a name that resembles a very important piece. He is the Lord. The Lord is our peace. In verses 23 to 24. He is the peace and the life. He is more than just peace in our hearts and our minds, but in our lives. He makes all things still. Not because the world stops moving, not because all the trouble around us stops and just is done. It's because he's in our hearts, he's in our minds, he's in our souls, and that is our peace to understand, to grasp, to wrestle with. He didn't remove the problems. He said, I'll be with you through them. See, we all want him to remove the problems. He's not going to. He's going to say, I'm with you through it. And that is something for us to learn. And grasp and understand and truly understand the sense of peace that he offers us because he's with us through it. He didn't come, hey, you went through a heck of a battle. Good job, man. He says, I'm with you. And he says he's with you today, too. It's not just Israelites that he's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. I am peace. See, that truth that comes out in this piece of passage is so important. The Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace did not come to Gideon on the battlefield. Did not come, because we all know, if we fast forward to chapter 7, we know the Midian army gets wiped out. See, it's not then that he gives the Lord this name. It's now. The promise of victory. The reality that he's with them. The knowing and understanding who God is, and that God has said, I am with you, and he believes it, and he trusts it. He knows it because the Lord has shown him. If you have me, you have peace. And see, that would be good for us to realize. We're all going to go through troubles. We're all going to go through difficult times. We're all going to struggle. If you haven't struggled, just wait. You will. But I promise you this, from a guy who's been broken most of his life, who's went through really tough times throughout my life, the Lord is with me. It doesn't matter that we don't have, it's not about not having problems, people. It's about the Lord. You will go through problems. You will go through trials, but he is with you. Day in and day out. So let me go to my wrap up, and I promise to be brief-ish. So I want to really make sure that you understand that it wasn't after that victory that this name was presented. It was in the promises. If you just open your Bible at any point and understand that he promises you as well, that he'll be with you, then you can understand the importance of that. Now, the reality is some of us who have gone through some difficult times have a greater understanding, maybe, because we've already been through difficult times and we understand he was with us through the whole thing. Not that he removed them from us, but that we went through them. Some of you have not went through great struggles yet. You will. Lean into your brother and sisters that's sitting right next to you. And be reminded that he is Lord of our peace. Not the guy that's going to remove all your problems. Our peace is found in God. Found in God only. Not in goods. You know, we think about paychecks, we think about cars, we think about houses, we think about all these things that we think about. And we think, I'll have peace if. I'll have peace if. Well, nothing that you finish that sentence with will bring you peace. Only if any of that statement says, I will have peace if I remain in him. See, knowing whose you are is that important statement. The reality that we are his, and he is the Lord of our peace. And if we know that, we believe that, we understand that, then the goods of this earth is just something that we reap the benefit of. That our peace is in him. Scriptures teach us this. They are clear. They are clear in Gideon's story about the Lord of peace is the truth that we must rest in, that we must hold on to, that Yahweh Shalom truly is the Lord of our peace. And today, I want this final statement as I wrap up each sermon in this. It's the fifth sermon in this series. Remember whose you are. You are seen, you are known, and you are his. Let's go to learn prayer. Father, thank you for who you are and revealing yourself to us as the Lord of peace. That we put our hearts and minds to you and that we seek truth above all else. That the reality of who you are is something that we rest in. Father, we will face problems knowing that you are with us. We may pray to have it relieved. But Father, may it be in your will. But if we go through the problem, we know that you're with us. And you are our Lord of peace. And we say this in Jesus' name. All your people said, amen.